Welcome to the Windows Communication Foundation screencast series sponsored by Pluralsight. Pluralsight provides flexible training solutions for Microsoft developers that can fit any schedule or budget. Check us out at pluralsight.com. My name is Aaron Sconard, and in this short screencast, I'm going to show you different techniques for processing messages using the new HTTP client class that ships within the WCF REST Starter Kit Preview 2. Here I am in Visual Studio 2008, and I'm working in this Twitter Shell sample application. This thing provides a console application interface to the Twitter REST API. I've been building it in previous screencasts. Let me show you how it works. I'll press F5 to run it. I'll enter my credentials. And then I can list out my Twitter statuses. If I type in ls public, it lists out all the public statuses on Twitter. If I say ls friends, we can just see my friends' statuses. If I just do ls, I just see my statuses. This sample also allows me to update my status and delete statuses on the backend system. It basically provides the same type of functionality as the Twitter website. Now, behind the Twitter website is the Twitter REST API. And that's what I've been using in that console application. If we scroll down to these status methods, you'll notice that to retrieve the public timeline, I just use this URL, and I can request different types of formats for the response, XML, JSON, RSS, or ATOM. The friends timeline works the same way. I can also request these different formats. So what I want to show you now in this screencast are some different techniques for processing the messages that you exchange with a RESTful API like Twitter's. So let's jump back to Visual Studio, and let's see how this works. Let's go inspect the code right now for processing the statuses that we get back from Twitter. Down here I have this displayTwitterStatuses method that takes in an X element at the root of the document. So whoever calls this is expected to hand in the root node of that X document. And then the first thing I do is I reach in and say, give me all the status nodes within this document. And I iterate through all the statuses. And I look for specific fields. I reach in and grab the user element, and then within the user element, I grab the screen name element, and I print out that value. Then later on, I just look at the status and grab its ID element and print out its value. And then I grab the text element and print out its value. So this is using XLink to process the raw XML that I'm getting back from Twitter in the current example. When you call this method, notice you grab the HTTP response message object, you access its content property, and you call read as X element. Assuming that the HTTP response contains XML in the body, this will work. And then that passes in an X element to this method, and we process it like I just showed you. Now, there's a few other ways you could process this as just raw XML. If I go back here and show you the IntelliSense, notice there's also a read as XML reader method. And so you could read that out using a traditional XML reader API, or you could load it up into an XML document. You could use XPath to process the document in a very similar way to what you see down below in the display Twitter statuses method. Okay, so those are just standard raw XML processing techniques. We're actually not going to do that in this particular example because you've already seen this work. What I want to show you are a few other techniques you can use. If I scroll up here to the top of the file, you'll want to make sure that you've added using statements to all these namespaces you see here. All of these namespaces contain extension methods that we'll be using down below. You'll also want to make sure that you have all of these different assemblies added to your project as well. Okay? Now, let's see how we could process this response that we're getting back from Twitter differently. So I'm going to be focusing my attention on these two methods down here, get statuses and display Twitter statuses. If we jump back here to the Twitter website real quick, let's actually grab the friends timeline address and paste it into our browser. And let's just ask for some XML back. Now, instead of processing this response using an XML API, we could also define some data contract types that represent this XML. And then we could rely on a serializer to map this XML into some .NET objects that make it a lot easier to extract the information we care about by simply using dot notation. And if I don't care about all this stuff that's in this file, I can define a simple view over this that I do care about. So let's go ahead and do that. I'm actually going to write these classes by hand to start. I'm going to jump down here, and here's where we're going to define these new classes. Now, let's jump back over to IE and look at the XML one more time. I'm going to need a class to represent this user, and the only fields I really care about in here are ID, name, and screen name. So my user class can simply contain those three fields. I'll also need a class for status, and in status, all I really care about is the ID element and the text element, and of course, the user element. And then we'll also need a class to represent statuses, the overall container of the response. So let's come down here and define a class called user. User is going to contain a public string ID. It's going to contain a public string name, and it's going to contain a public string screen name. Then we'll also have a class called status. Status is going to contain ID, text, and user. So we'll have a public string ID, public string text, and public user, user. Now these two classes that I've just defined will work with both Data Contract Serializer as well as XML Serializer. The mapping to XML is just going to be based on the type and field names and the public visibility of those elements. Okay, then I'm going to need a container type. I'll call it status list, and we'll derive it from list of status. In fact, this won't contain anything. It's just going to have a collection data contract attribute that specifies a name of statuses and an item name of status. That'll be the container type that represents the overall container for this thing. Now, I don't have to annotate the rest of these types with the data contract attributes because of a new feature in .NET 3.5 that's called plain old CLR objects. It allows any public type to be serialized using a data contract serializer. It'll just basically work just like XML serializer did for the most part. Okay, now I don't want any of these things to be inside of an XML namespace, because if you look over here, you'll see there's no namespace here within this XML document we're getting back from Twitter. So to make sure that that's the case, I'm going to come up here to the top, and I'm going to add an assembly level attribute called contract namespace. And I'm going to basically say that I want the CLR namespace, Twitter shell, to map to an empty XML namespace. That's what that code does. So now with that code in place, with these new classes in place down here at the bottom, I should be able to process this XML document that I get back from Twitter using these types instead of the XLink types that I'm currently using. Let's see how we'll go about doing this. Let me copy display Twitter statuses. We'll create a new version of this method. And we'll call this one display Twitter statuses 2. And instead of passing in an X element for the root, we'll pass in a status list. And then I won't need this line of code anymore. And I'll say for each status, S in list, we'll go ahead and do the same type of printing logic. So here I'll just say S.user.screenname. Then down here for the ID, I can just say S.id. And for the text, I'll just set the text to s.text. So that code got a little bit easier. I'm not using any XML APIs. I'm just relying on this mapping back to this specific type. Okay, now how do I actually call display Twitter statuses 2 now? Well, up here in my get statuses method, instead of calling it and passing in this x element like I was doing before, I'm going to say response.content. And instead, I'm going to say read as data contract, and I'm going to specify status list for the type. Okay, that's it. Let's go ahead and build this. Both of the methods up above are calling get statuses, both for the public timeline and for the friends timeline. So both of these should work the same way. Okay, so let's just go ahead and run this thing, enter my credentials. And let's try to retrieve the public timeline. Notice it worked. Let's try to get my friend's timeline. And that worked too. So we're now using data contract types instead of just plain old XML APIs to reach in and process the data we're getting back from this RESTful service. Now, I could also use these same types to process JSON results from the service. There's a data contract JSON serializer that I can use for that case. So the only thing I need to do to take advantage of that is up here, instead of asking for the XML endpoints, I'm going to ask for the JSON endpoints. And now I'm going to get JSON back. So I'm going to have to change the way we call display Twitter statuses too. Instead of passing in the data contract version, I'm going to say read as JSON data contract, and everything else stays the same. And let's go ahead and test it. Enter my credentials, and we'll do an LS on the public timeline. Notice that worked. Let's do it friends. That worked too. Now, to show you that this is really using JSON, how about we come in here and launch Fiddler? And then I'm going to come back here to my console and just run that command again. If I jump back here to Fiddler, we should see that we got a 200 OK back here. And if we go and inspect the results here, the raw results, you'll notice that the response is indeed JSON. And we were able to map that JSON cleanly back to those same data contract types that we were using before. So these types allowed me to process both XML results and JSON results. Now, you can also use a similar technique to process XML serializer types. In fact, these types down here will work with both data contract serializer and XML serializer. I'll just need a new container type for XML serializer. I'll call it statuses. And statuses is simply going to contain a public status array called status. And this is going to contain an XML element attribute specifying status for that name. Okay, now I can use this to process the results using XML serializer. So let's jump back up to the top and actually change this back to XML again. I want XML for this particular example. Okay, and then down here in my code, when I call the display Twitter statuses 2 method, I'm going to specify read as XML serializable and specify statuses. Let me build that. Oops, and I'll need to come down here and change this to take statuses instead of status. And then for my for loop, I'll say for each status S in list.status, just make those two minor changes. Now we should build successfully. Let me close down the currently running application. Build worked. Now let's run it and test it. So I'll enter my credentials. We'll try a public listing. That worked. And a friends listing. That worked too. Now, to some of you, defining these types manually like I did here by simply looking at the XML and kind of figuring out how to do the mapping myself might seem a little cumbersome. But that's actually how a lot of people work in the real world with RESTful services. They actually look at the XML they're getting back, and they figure out how to write the code on their side to basically process that accordingly. But there's another feature in the WCF REST Starter Kit that makes this even easier. If you have an example XML document, you can actually copy that XML into your clipboard and then paste it into a source file in your solution as an XML serializable type. Let me show you how that works. Let's go ahead and take this friendstimeline.xml and let's save it to our desktop. I'll just click here on page and say save as. We'll save that to our desktop as friends_timeline.xml. Okay, we'll go ahead and let that save. Okay, then I'm going to come here and open that file. It should just be on my desktop and it should be called friends_timeline. We'll open it and there's the XML. I can just go ahead and copy this into my clipboard. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to come over here to my solution, and I'm going to add a new source file. I'll call this thing Twitter statuses. Okay, and then right here where this class is, I'm just going to delete this class that it gave me, and I'm going to come up here to the edit menu, and I'm going to select paste XML as serializable type. Now I have a serializable type that works with XML serializer. Notice it's also called statuses, that I can use to process that data that I just got back from Twitter. Okay, so let's see how we can actually use this now in our code. I'll jump back here over to our source file, And I'm just going to comment these guys out for now just to make sure that we're not colliding on any class names. So then I need to come back here to this code, and I need to change the way this is written because some of the field names will have changed. I'll say for each statuses status, that's the name of the new type now, s in list.status, we'll just go ahead and rebuild. Everything else actually works the same down below. Now this is based on the new types that we automatically generated that are found over here in twitterstatuses.cs. Let's go ahead and run it and see if it works. So we'll type in my credentials, then we'll do a public listing. Notice that worked, and a friends listing, and that worked too. So as a final example, what if you wanted to get Atom feeds back from the Twitter service? We saw that the Twitter API does indeed supply Atom feeds when requested. How would that work? Let's jump back here and check it out. I'll come up here to the top and change the URI to request an Atom feed for both of these guys. And then down here below, we'll have to write a new method that knows how to operate on syndication feeds. In WCF 3.5, they introduced a new Atom API called syndication feed. So I'm going to call this one display Twitter statuses 3. And this is going to take a syndication feed as input. Okay, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to say for each syndication item in feed.items, and then down here below, I'm just going to print out, in fact, we don't need all this fancy stuff going on. We're just going to print out si.title.text, and that's actually going to contain the screen name and the text all in one line, so I can get rid of some of this other stuff. Let's just go ahead and get rid of all of this down here below. Okay? So we'll just go ahead and do that. And now up here in my method, I'm going to call display Twitter statuses 3. And now instead of calling read as XML serializable, I'm going to call read as syndication feed. This guy right here. And now let's run and try the Atom case. So I'll enter my credentials. And let's do a public listing. And notice that worked. Let's do a friends listing. That worked too. The reason why it's coming out all mushed up like that is because I forgot to do a write line. If I close this guy down, jump back over here, and change this to a write line instead of a write, that should come out a little better this time. There we go. Okay, so we've seen several different examples here. And by the way, why don't we jump over here to Fiddler before we forget and see that we actually got Atom back. If I jump here and look at one of these requests and make this a little smaller so we can see it, and I look at the XML, you'll notice that indeed we got an Atom feedback from Twitter. If you look at the raw, you'll see down here that this is indeed an Atom feed in XML format. Okay, so in this screencast, we've seen how to process HTTP responses in a lot of different ways. You'll notice that the content property allows us to process the response as a byte array, a data contract, JSON data contracts, as service documents in Atom Pub, or even just a syndication feed. We can also process the response as just a stream or a string, or of course, XElement or XML Reader if you want to just do raw XML work. Okay, so we have a lot of different options around how we process these responses. I also want to point out that when you're generating requests to send to a RESTful service, there's another class called HTTP Content Extensions. And this lets you create messages, request messages, in all these different formats as well. So the new HTTP Client APIs and the WCF REST Starter Kit make it possible to work with a lot of different formats very easily in your REST client applications. Thank you for watching this video in the Windows Communication Foundation screencast series. You can find more in-depth online training videos at Pluralsight.com, where you can sign up for a yearly subscription to Pluralsight On Demand. Pluralsight On Demand gives you access to an extensive library of online training courses covering a variety of current and emerging Microsoft technologies, and you can access this valuable content from anywhere, anytime, while still learning from the folks you trust. Check it out today at Pluralsight.com.